Today, we are not going to try to convince you that a body rose from the grave or try to convince you of anything that you would never believe in, but what we are going to do today is walk through this process of what this means for your life. And we're going to do that by looking at a story from the Bible, the resurrection story, and we're going to look at a single character, one of the disciples, of what this means for their life. So before we get started, and before we do that, I'm going to pray for us, and we'll get going. So let's pray. God, this morning as we gather, my prayer for us is that we can be open. That we can be open to what you have for us, that we can hear you. Because God, this is all confusing sometimes to us in what it means to be a Christian, what it means to believe in a God who rises from the dead. But God, today as we listen, just be with us. Just be with us this morning, God. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, 2 days before I asked my wife to marry me, we went on a date to the movies. And I thought that this movie that we had seen was the greatest movie of all time. I'm not joking you. I walked out of there saying things like, hands down, best movie I've ever seen. I wish I would have written it. I wish I would have thought of that idea. And Allison, I mean, she thought that I was going crazy. I mean, that movie to me at that time was the best movie that I had ever seen. You want to know what that movie is? Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. And she still married me, okay? Now, the reason why I tell you that is because today I would never really want to share that with you. I would never really want to tell you that once upon a time, one of my favorite movies was Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, because I have this fear that you would put me in a box that I like movies that are like that. Not saying that it's a dumb movie or anything like that, but if it's your favorite movie, it's awesome, okay? But I mean, I think that you have fears like that too, that you don't want people to know or associate you with certain things, right? Like maybe you like reality TV secretly, and if you love reality TV, I'm not trying to put this down or anything like that, but maybe you secretly like reality TV and you don't want people to know about it, right? Like maybe The Bachelor, right? Yeah, somebody loves The Bachelor back there. Or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, like whatever, yeah, we still got it back there too, yes. Like, you know, like little things like that. And there's this fear that we don't want to be associated with certain things like that because maybe there's something that holds us back or people will judge us or perceive us in a certain way. And it's not just silly things like watching movies or reality TV. And it's real things too. Like maybe you have this fear of telling people that you've been divorced or that you're going through something that is really horrible. Or maybe it's about a certain job or what kind of car you drive. I mean, fear can hold us back from taking a step into getting that job or that promotion that we want because fear tells us that we're totally unqualified for it, right? Or maybe fear will hold us back from being vulnerable with our friends or our family in a way that we want to ask for help, but fear tells us you got to be put together. You can't go ask for help. Or maybe fear will stop us in our tracks and tell us that we don't know how to react to that diagnosis that we got, or that we don't know how we're gonna make that next payment. I mean, fear controls us, and fear holds us back in ways that is far stronger than what we could really do, right? And I don't think this is a problem that we are struggling with now that is just unique to us. I think that this is a problem that has been going on for a long time. Like, fear is so deep that we see it in the Bible. And specifically, if we read through the resurrection story, we can see that it runs deep in the disciples. And I want us to take a look at one of those stories today. There's this story of the resurrection in Mark. Mark 16, if you have a Bible, if you want to open up, Mark is in the New Testament. If not, I'll just read along and you can listen. Mark 16, verse 1. Hear now the reading of the Holy Word. It says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were there on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. Do not be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? And here's the important part right here. Verse 7, it says this, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. Go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. I mean, we look at the beginning of this story, we don't see the disciples going back to the tomb, do we? We see a group of women that were so faithful to Jesus that the only way that they knew how to honor Jesus was to go back and to put perfume on his body because they didn't want it to smell as it would decay. But yet, who wasn't there? The author makes known to us very clearly who wasn't there. The disciples, and who? Peter. Why was not Peter at the tomb that day? Why did Peter not have the faith to go back to the tomb that day? It's because of fear. Most likely, Peter was somewhere in Jerusalem hiding away from all the guards and all the people that were talking about Jesus. Hiding somewhere far away from where Jesus was. Because Peter, if he were to be present, most likely he would have been crucified and be put to death in the same way that Jesus was. The thing about Peter is, Peter's kind of special. You see, whenever Jesus started his ministry, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. And whenever he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw these two guys out on a boat, and he called them to the shore, and he said a simple invitation. That's all he said to them. He said, follow me. It wasn't a list of do's and don'ts. It wasn't a list of rules and regulations. It was just a simple invitation. Follow me. So you know what Peter did? Peter dropped everything and started to follow Jesus. I mean, there's something curious about who Jesus was for Peter, right? There had to have been some sense of fear that Peter had in him to just leave his job and to go follow this guy that would go on to heal people, to perform miracles. And one of the first miracles that Peter saw Jesus perform was healing his own mother-in-law. I mean, this mother-in-law had a horrible sickness, and Jesus healed her. And she immediately got up and started to serve them in their house. The next thing that Peter saw was Jesus walking on water. And if you grew up in the church, you may have heard this story before, right? This crazy idea of a man walking on water. And so whenever Peter was in a boat seeing Jesus walk on water, he himself too took a leap of faith and stepped out of the boat onto the water. And looking at Jesus and then starting to look around and seeing the waves, and then there's all this distraction. And fear started to creep up in him, and he started to sink. And Jesus came up to him and said, hey, why did you not have faith in me? I was here. I was with you. But Peter and the disciples, the more that they grew to know who Jesus was, the more that they listened to Jesus, they got to hear him preach, tell all these parables. And yes, they were confused, and they would ask these ridiculous questions about what it meant, and they would have side conversations. But yet, for 3 years, Peter walked with Jesus, and the more and more he walked with Jesus, the more and more he saw Jesus go. Everything that Jesus had done should have pushed all of this fear out. Everything that Jesus had done should have pushed this fear out. Because eventually, Jesus looked to Peter, and he said this question. He said, who do you say I am? And Peter, because he knows who Jesus is at this point, he says, hey, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. He knows the power of who Jesus is. He knows what Jesus is capable. But yet Jesus says, okay, if you say that I'm the Son of the living God, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to die, and then on the third day I'm going to rise. And Peter said, no, this can't happen. I won't let it happen. But Jesus said, yes, in fact, that this is going to happen. And whenever this is happening, you're going to deny me 3 times. That everything that I'm going to go through, you don't want to be a part of, and you're going to deny me 3 times. And if you grew up in the church and you know a little bit about who Peter is, you know that Peter did indeed deny Jesus 3 times, going through that pain and that suffering. Why is that? It's because Peter had this fear in him. He did not want to be perceived. He did not want to be judged. He did not want to be associated with who Jesus was because he did not want to die himself. Everything that Peter should have seen in Jesus should have pushed out that fear. But yet there was something inside of him that did not go back to the tomb that day because he didn't want to die. He didn't want to be associated with it. I don't know how fear works in your life, but fear in my life creeps up every now and then. And I have a few friends that don't go to church, and I called one of my friends this past week to ask him, what he was doing for Easter. He doesn't go to church. He is a Christian. He believes, but there's something about the church that just kind of pushes him away. And fear for me is not calling my friend and asking him what he's going to do on Easter morning. But for some reason, I felt this thing inside of me to call him and ask what he was doing for Easter. And I call my friend and I say, hey, what are you doing for Easter? And he said, hey, you know me. I don't like to go to church. And in fact, I don't really care about Easter either. And for some reason, there was something inside of me that I wanted to say, okay, click and hang up the phone and everything would be okay, right? But there's something inside of me. I had to push the fear away. Because in the next question I asked him, I said, why do you not care about Easter? He said, because isn't everyday Easter for Christians? Isn't everyday Easter for Christians? See, the moment that Peter realized that every day was Easter for him is whenever he started the church. It was whenever he realized that the resurrection had actually freed something in him. And because he started the church, all this fear had been pushed out and nothing could stop him. Here's the thing. I don't know what fear is like in your life, but fear holds me back from doing a lot of the things that I want to do. But yet there's something about the resurrection that is calling us to live above that. There's something about the resurrection that frees us from this. Because it's nothing that Peter could have done himself. It's not how many years he could have been with Jesus. It's not how much he could have learned. It's not how loyal he could have been to Jesus. And it's the same thing for us. It's not how hard we work. It's not how many hours of service we have. It's not how long we've been in the church, whether it's the first day that we've been in the church or we've been here our entire life. It does not matter how much we do. We cannot push that fear out ourselves. It's all because of the resurrection of who Jesus is. And because fear holds us back, the resurrection sets us free. And if you don't listen to anything else I say today, my hope is that you walk away with that, that fear holds us back, but the resurrection sets us free. You see, we saw in Peter's life how the resurrection sets him free. He gathered his disciples. He got in front of a group of people and said, hey, this is everything that I've seen that Jesus can do. Now the Holy Spirit is in me. Let's start this church. Be forgiven of your sins, repent of your sins, and now be baptized. And 5,000 people, I mean, a lot of people were baptized that day, and they started the church. Imagine what getting rid of that fear and realizing the resurrection in you would be like in your life. Imagine what your relationships would be like in your work. Imagine what your relationships would be like in your home. Imagine what it would be like just in Dallas if we all allowed the resurrection to set us free of fear. Imagine what that would look like in your life. Because friends, fear holds us back, and the resurrection sets us free. And that is the good news of Easter. That is the good news of the gospel. Leaning into that hope, leaning into that love, and leaning into that grace, because it's nothing that we can do. It's everything that Jesus can do, everything that God can do. Fear holds us back, but the resurrection sets us free. Rest in that good news today. Let us pray. God, my hope is that we, beings of fear, people that do have fear within us, I ask that we could be free of that today because of the resurrection, because of who Jesus is. And it's nothing that we can do. And it's everything that you can do by the grace of who you are and the love and the ultimate sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ. God, because we know that fear holds us back from things. But today, if every day is Easter, every single day after this, God, we just ask that we could be free and allow us to have that resurrection in us. Allow us to be free of that fear and allow us to have the resurrection set us free. Amen.